Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray that we would sense your presence, we would hear, understand, and take to heart the message of your holy word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times, is the opening line of Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities. It famously captures the contradictory nature of a period of time, specifically referring to the French Revolution, where extreme joy and profound despair existed side by side. The quote highlights the dichotomy between the relative peace and stability of London at the time, but also the chaos and destruction of Paris. In our gospel reading for this morning from Luke 17, our Lord Jesus foretells his second coming. For those who love and know the Lord Jesus, we are ready for his appearing. In fact, we love his appearing. It is the best of times for all eternity. But for those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus, they are totally unprepared for his coming, and they are the worst of times, but for all eternity. And so I'd like to look at two points in this passage that our Lord makes in relation to being prepared for his second coming. So my first point is, he warns us, don't be deceived. Luke 17, 22 through 24 says this, and he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. For Christian believers who truly desire to see Christ again in glory, who are suffering from persecution and yearn to see relief from these particular circumstances and hardships, we long to see his coming, and yet it hasn't happened yet. In the context of this harassment for their Christian faith, Christian believers can become vulnerable to suggestions that relief from persecution is right around the corner. And it's been right around the corner for 2,000 years. Though some will seek after false Christs and false messiahs, they will circulate that a false messiah has come, that he's out in the wilderness. Go see him. And Jesus is warning us, don't go see him because he's not it. I'm it, and I have already come. And just as he said at his ascension, he will come back just as he has left. But while we're in this age, Christ's return and that day of outward safety still awaits us. Now is the time for patient perseverance as we trust in Christ through our suffering. And just as Jesus suffered first and then entered into his glory, so his followers must endure the difficulties of this life before we enter into Christ's heavenly glory. The true triumph of Jesus and the world's true Messiah will appear and to all of us in a blinding flash of glory. It will be just as the flash of lightning cuts from one end of the sky to the other. Our Lord's coming in glory will be instantly visible to all the people of the earth. And so utterly overpowering and shocking will be his second coming as to be undeniable. So So if you think that Jesus is somewhere out in the desert, go see him, forget about it. When he comes in glory, there'll be no guessing. Like, is that him? We will know it, and we will know it with certainty. That brings me to my second point, and that is the need for our vigilance, our continued trust in him. And there's more than one reason why we need to be vigilant and ready for Christ's second advent. These reasons vary quite a bit as to why we need to be ready. The one reason we need to be ready is that up until the time of Christ's second advent, life will go on as usual. We will see marrying and giving in marriage. We will see buying and selling, eating and drinking, building and planting. It was in the same days of Noah and Lot until the destruction came. It was business as usual. There was nothing extraordinary happening that hadn't happened before. As we read from Luke 17, 26 through 28, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. It will be the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. We hear these activities of usual life, and it seems as if time will just go on and on without an end. And that's why we need to be vigilant, because Jesus Christ could come today, June 1st, 2025, and right up to the time he comes, it will seem as if the same as yesterday and a decade ago. And rather than things being like a Chicken Little moment where we think the sky is about to fall, the words in this passage speak of just the opposite, of the normal activities of everyday life. This is not to say that traumatic things won't happen before Christ's coming. They will, but we will have the harsh along with the usual routines of life. In the opening verses of this passage, Luke wrote that the days will come when you will long to see the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. The presence of harsh circumstances does not mean that Christ will come again, nor the opposite. The presence of normal circumstances does not mean Christ will come today. Rather, throughout human history, we have seen both harsh and usual circumstances, and yet Jesus did not come again yet, but he will. The Lord is urging us to remain vigilant and keep our eyes on serving him and not be fixated with, is the Lord coming? We know he is, but when? I think we're all familiar with the line of young children on a long trip in which they ask repeatedly, are we there yet? And the longer the trip goes on, parents realize that question's going to be asked again and again and again until finally we get there. Both individually and collectively, we can ask one another and the Lord, Lord, aren't we almost there yet? Lord, can't you wrap up human history and come back to usher in the new heavens and the new earth? Because quite frankly, I'm getting tired of this stuff. It's not wrong to have this question in the form of a prayer, because we have this precise prayer at the end of the book of Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. From these verses, it is not wrong to anticipate and long for Christ's second coming. The people in the times of Noah and Lot carried on with life as usual, But those who were not prepared, it came upon them suddenly because they did not reconcile to the Lord with true faith and repentance. Noah and Lot were sinners as well, but they heeded God's word and warnings and were saved. Another reason to be vigilant is that the day of the Lord for those will come upon those unexpectedly who do not trust in Him. If you do not prepare yourself for this day by trusting His Christ as Lord and Savior, you will surely be caught off guard. Our Lord's return to judge the living and the dead will not only be unmistakable to all people visibly, but will also come unexpectedly to many, offering no last-minute window of opportunity for repentance. Luke 17:32 tells us these short words, "Remember Lot's wife. Her backward look and disobedience to God's command doomed her." It also reminds us that close proximity to some faithful believer in God will not help the unbeliever on the day of Christ's second coming. God has adopted children. He does not have adopted grandchildren. You either are in Christ as His child through faith in Jesus, but the faith of your parents, family member, or close friend will not benefit you on the last day if you don't believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. And so this passage offers us a sobering warning and a call for us to be ready. In Luke 17:34-36, the text speaks of a couple of illustrations in which two people are together. One is taken and one is left. The separation of believers and unbelievers will occur on that day when the Son of Man is revealed, and not at some time before His return. Christ assures faithful believers of the swiftness of the coming judgment, that those who belong to Christ by faith will be saved, and those who don't trust in Him will be condemned. Two people will be working together in a field, one taken, the other left. Two people sharing the same bed, a married couple, one taken and the other left. These divisions happened to people who knew each other. They were in the same work and in the same family, and they experienced different outcomes in their eternal destiny. On that day of judgment, one will be taken away in the flood of judgment, being swept away in God's flood, even in the times of Noah, as God took away the wicked of the earth, while the others were left, as Noah was left behind to inherit the earth and to start all over again. And it's the same for the closing of human history, with this exception. When God ends human history, unlike Noah's time, we're not going to start again with the same old earth. God will bring in a new heavens and a new earth, and yes, we will have a new beginning, but there'll be no ending. God will renew His earth. These illustrations are also spoken of in Matthew 24:38-41. And the point in both Luke's account and Matthew's account is that believers are urged to be watchful and vigilant, and unbelievers are invited and commanded to repent and believe the gospel. While there will be normal activities of family and business until Christ's second advent, there will also be persecution of Christians. But whichever end of the spectrum we are experiencing, a time of outward peace or a time of persecution, we are called to faithful service to Christ and to be in a constant lifestyle of trusting in the Lord, repenting of our sins, and ongoing discipleship, following after our Lord and Master. Luke 17:37 concludes with this sobering parable. And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." Jesus used this proverb to teach that just as dead bodies attract vultures, so the spiritually dead invite God's judgment. The good news is that we have the precious gift of time today. So let us not squander it, but instead use our time to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, and commit ourselves to Him to serve Him as our Lord and Master. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, You are building up Your church, and Your kingdom continues to be built up. We pray that You would strengthen and increase Your church. Help us to be faithful and loyal to You as we truly hear Your word. Strengthen us by Your word and by the holy sacrament of communion to feed on You in our hearts by faith. Help us to embrace You as we go through the sufferings of this age for the sake of Your name, so that we might be prepared to enter into Your glory when You return on that final day. For You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.